I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to C3 Global's podcast. I'm Amanda. I'm part of one of our incredible churches in Toronto. And hey, listen, I have the honor and the pleasure of having Ellie Limebear here with me. Hello, Ellie.
Hello. This is fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, it's so great to have you here. You're going to be with us at Global Conference in May.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I am so excited. I just want it to be May already.
I know, right? It's only a few months. That's awesome. Well, hey, we just wanted to talk about all things worship, some of your current projects, and hear what you're excited about for conference. But why don't you start by just sharing a little bit of how you got into worship ministry and a little bit of your journey so far?
Yes. So I guess I grew up in a very musical family, a Christian home. We would go to church every Sunday without a doubt. It was like, that's what we're doing, which is beautiful. And my father, he is a musician, worship leader. He was part of a band called Delirious. I think Dad's actually come to this conference before. Martin. Good old Marty Pants.
Yeah. Good old Marty.
So we love your church. We love C3. And I guess, yeah, so growing up in a musical family, but I never thought I would do this, honestly. I never thought I would lead worship, sing. I was just so fearful, honestly, from a really young age of anyone hearing my voice or, you know, being on a stage, having a microphone. That just terrified me. And so I feel like I avoided it for a lot of my life and just would sing in my room. I'd print out like girl band, like Girls Aloud. I don't know if you know Girls Aloud over there, but that was like one of my favorite.
I'm going to look them up after this.
Oh yeah. Just, you know, just pop bangers, but I would just like belt it in my room and just absolutely go for it. But I just didn't want anyone to hear it. I didn't want anyone to hear me sing. And so it was definitely a journey of like confidence and realizing that this is what God has called me to do, honestly. And so I remember being 13 around that time, and my dad would start to encourage me to, you know, sing with him at different events or doing a bit of backing vocals. But I was just terrified. He was like, honestly, Els, you know, we don't even have to turn your microphone on. We don't have to, you could go right at the back. You can just, you know, pop these in-ears in and just see how it goes. Just worship, just sing your heart out. And I knew how to do that. I knew how to like worship. I knew how to like praise, like that. I felt like my whole life has just been here going to church, and I knew how to praise him. But the whole piece of like leading and singing and harmonizing, even, I was like, oh, what even, how do you harmonize? What does that even look like? I'd try like so hard with different songs. I'm like, this is not it.
Right.
But I feel like when I was 20, it was about when I was 20 years old, we were on a tour with my dad, actually, my whole family. And it was like a worship sort of worship night tour. And every night, so many different artists would, you know, lead and play. And I felt like lots of my life has just been that, going to different shows of my dad's or worship nights. And so it didn't feel like any other different night, honestly.
Right.
But it was such a moment for me in my life of, I remember standing at the back of the arena, just watching, like, worship it, this is great. But then I heard the Lord speak to me so clearly and said, you're going to do something similar to this, but it might not look like this. You know, you might not even write these sort of songs, but like, just trust me and watch what I do. And I was just like, oh, crumbs. Like, no. I was like, please, no, I don't want to do this. I really, yeah. I think because I saw kind of like the behind the scenes too, from as like a young girl learning and watching dad, like, you know, what people see and what people don't see sort of thing. Yeah. And the sacrifice and the struggle and mum being at home and just what it takes, you know, the lead to lead, the responsibility. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to do anything like that. I want to be a photographer. I'm going to learn and just run my own business. So that's what I was doing. I was a photographer. I was like, great, I can stay at home. But I just remember so clearly the Lord saying that. I'm like, gosh, like I knew there was about a shift coming in like myself.
Right.
And he did. He felt like he was just molding me constantly in this season of, you know, confidence and showing me what it could look like and blah, blah, blah. Songs were coming and doors were opening. So it really was this, like, I was so fearful though, still through it all. Mm-hmm. It felt like, and still can be, of like, oh crumb, like I do really just need to hold on to you. Otherwise I don't know what else is going to happen.
Right.
So it's been a journey of just realizing like, oh wow, you've actually spoken to me about leading worship, about, you know, speaking out, about doing music my whole life through prophecies and words, and I just shut them all down because of fear. And right. At that moment when I was 20, it felt like the well of things that had been spoken over my life, it just kind of exploded. And I was like, oh wow, okay, this, you have been speaking to me this whole time. So it's been definitely a journey of confidence and claiming like, oh, this is where you're leading me. But I love it. Yeah. I love leading worship. It's such a joy, like a responsibility, a light burden, I call it. Like it's all the worship leaders out there, you know, just like you hold it, you want to hold it well, but like lightly all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. It's funny how there's always a bit of a cost or a surrender that comes to us. I find it's interesting meeting worship ministers that most of them wouldn't have seen themselves in that role. So it's cool to hear. What would you say to all of the worship leaders out there? Maybe they're just doing it out of obedience right now in their local church, or don't feel like they have what it takes, or struggling with fear or anxiety. What would you say to them?
Wow. Yeah. It's so real, isn't it? And it's such a, I feel like being a worship leader, it's a life thing too, isn't it? It's not just a Sunday morning thing where you're, you know, scheduled to lead at church or for three services here. Like it really is like you lay your life down for it, and you're pastoring or you're, I've never actually worked at a church. I've never worked at my local church, but there definitely is that, the weight of responsibility of, you know, gathering and leadership all of it. But I would just encourage you to just like keep purely worshiping in the hidden and in all things. And if the music thing, you know, if it's an obedience thing, you know, it doesn't almost come naturally, which I really felt. I was like, I don't know really how to, what keys to choose for things. I don't know musically what, you know, how to harmonize it. I felt really out of my depth, honestly, of like, I don't know actually how to play any instrument too. That was another thing where I'm not like, great, I'll just put on my acoustic and lead and it's all going to be fine. Yeah. I do like sometimes feel out of my depth of like, I don't know how do you do this? But I know that it's a heart thing, isn't it? It's a heart posture of like, if you, a worship leader is, the first thing is if you're just a worshiper,
right?
And you just love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And I think everything kind of flows from that, which is, you know, sometimes easier said than done. But I think keeping the main thing, and asking questions. I feel like I just keep asking questions of like, how do you do that? How do you know that that was a good thing to do? Or what was your intention putting that song after that song? Or I think just keep curious to with each other.
Yeah.
And encouragement. Never underestimate encouragement. with each other, pump each other up with, yeah, that was beautiful, or I love, you know, and not, you know, not in vain sort of thing, but just like pure, yeah, encouragement.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's so good. Cause we can be so critical, hey, and it can overshadow, you know, what God's doing sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So you're releasing music and there's lots of worship music being released all across the world right now. What do you think, what excites you the most about what's happening in the worship world and what we're hearing and what we're seeing? And
oh, yes. That's a great question. I love music anyway. Like, I love worship music. I will listen to all sorts of music all throughout the day. But I feel like I'm hearing a lot of just like just truth, like pure truth of like scripture and like the real thing. I feel more and more as I'm traveling and even as watching this next generation, I'm the eldest of like five younger siblings too, and they're all Gen Zers. And just seeing their hunger for like the real pure thing of Jesus. Yes. And they don't want the faff. If I don't know if that translates as a word to all these people, but like just like the stuff around, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But just like worship in spirit and truth is like so important, isn't it? But I do feel like there's more joy coming. I feel like the joy of worship, the joy of like songs and singing together, like is going to erupt even more. Like I sense it there, that we can't, I guess, just take advantage or what's the word? No, not take advantage. Just, you know, the gathering when we come together, it's so special as a community of churches, you know, it's, not everyone gets to be part of that. Not everyone as a human gets to gather like that in a church. And I feel when we're singing songs pure, direct to Jesus, I mean, it's amazing. There's nothing better than the presence of God, is there? But I guess with my songwriting too, it's like I'm writing all kinds of songs that, yes, may be sung at church, but may not be. But it's hopefully it's just all encouraging.
Yeah. No, it's beautiful. Tell me about some of your projects. So you released an EP last year called If I'm Be Honest. And it's so good. I was listening to it before Christmas. And honestly, it is like really, really special.
Oh, thank you, Amanda. Yes, that definitely was something that I've always wanted to do with my friend Cephas. He's a neoclassical pianist and just amazing. I don't know how he does it. Not all these sounds. When you listen to it, it's literally all Cephas and I'm just like ooh-ahing over the top. But we really intentionally wanted this project. It's five songs of instrumental music and really wanted this to be a project that people can listen to us, you know, devotional time or to kind of like settle yourself and recenter yourself, honestly, and the craziness of life and the fast pace. And it's so, you know, in the Western culture, it's so fast paced, isn't it? And next thing you're doing three things at the same time. But actually we just really hope that this music kind of like centers you. Is a peaceful reminder to like be still. And honestly, I had just so much fun kind of just singing over the top of it, almost as little reminders of things or just singing over people. I just imagine it just like singing over people. But it is just, Cephas's music is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was a joy to collaborate on that.
So good.
I love that you listen to it though. Thank you.
Oh yeah. I'm a big instrumental person. They're always on in my home. So I feel like you just get so much more space to think and not get distracted.
That is it.
Yeah. So you also were a part of writing a book I saw. I have not read it, but I did see this and it's called Say Goodbye to Anxiety. Correct?
Yes. Correct. Yes.
Amazing. So tell me where that project came from. And because it I mean, obviously your writing isn't just confined to songs. It's like on so much further now. And so how did that process start about?
In May 2024, we are gathering in Singapore for the Outpouring, our C3 Church Global Conference. I personally want to invite you to join with us in Singapore. We hear the sound of an enormous outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the next season for the church around the world. And you and I will be part of it, pouring our lives out on the altar together in Singapore. Every C3 church around the world will receive fresh fire and be renewed with fresh oil for a new day of increase across the whole earth. Young men and women from around the world being touched by God are seeing visions and declaring the future. This conference is open to the whole C3 family. Bring your pastors, leaders, board members, youth leaders, worship leaders, creative teams, business people, and influencers. This will be a historic breakthrough event. It's time for revival. Head to c3churchglobal.com to register.
It's a 40-day devotional that I co-wrote with my good friend Jane, and she's a bit older than me. She's like a few generations above, but it's like being the most precious thing, writing something about anxiety, you know, say goodbye to anxiety with someone who is like older and wiser, you know. And a lot of what I've written is just like poured down from her, honestly, as she's been a mentor in my life. And I think it all came about really when we both, so she's got a story of her journey with anxiety and the freedom she's found. And myself also, there's over my life just spouts of anxiety and finding freedom, honestly, through Jesus. And just, yeah, so much grace and mercy over my story. And so we really just wanted to write a book that would encourage other people who are also going through the motions or in the pit of anxiety. There's so many levels to anxiety, isn't there? But yeah, we just really wanted to come together with tools and helpful things that we've learned and encouraged us to simply encourage other people all over the world. And we really just felt the nudge and sense to do it, and was just realizing all over the world there are people struggling with anxiety, like old, young and old, rich and poor, all over the world. Yeah. It wasn't just one particular person or one particular age. It really is. The enemy is a sneaky little thing and is just weaving fear and anxiety and depression into people's lives without them even realizing it. And, you know, for generations and generations, it can be passed down, you know, all these things. But we just really wanted to say, like, enough's enough, really. Like, this is not the life that Jesus is like died for. And I know how just isolating it can be and minimizing. And, you know, there would be days and weeks that I just wouldn't leave my home because of, I'd just be so extremely anxious and lists of things that I'd write down that I'd love to do, but I couldn't because of anxiety. And And I think it was honestly a shock to the system, even myself, when the Lord really revealed to me, like, this is what is like strangling you, is this. Like, and I think it was a shock to the system for me because I was like, no, I'm fine. No, I'm joyful. I'm up. I'm love life. I can do this. Like, I don't get fearful about this though and this. And then it was a whole unwinding of like crumbs. This is like eating me alive. And wasn't even aware of it. And it's just halted so many areas of my life. And I just got used to it. I just thought, well, Ellie doesn't do that. And Ellie doesn't do that. She can do that. Right. Maybe it almost gave, the Lord just opened my eyes to everything that it stopped me doing and really got me angry. Also just for like future Ellie and little Ellie, of like, wow, if little Ellie knew how much fear she was living in now as like 20s. And if I keep on living like this and go through the same things when she's a grandma and old and saggy, like, no, like that is, I don't want to be old and saggy and full of fear. Like, I don't, none of us should like want that either. But so it's a battle, isn't it? Of claiming the freedom. But yeah, we just really hope that this book just encourages people, honestly, and that there is another way. There is freedom to be found.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Would you say that worship has played a role in your journey with anxiety?
100%. Like 100%. I don't know if you know Katie and Brian Torwall. They have this EP that I just played nonstop, honestly. And there was this one song called Praise Before My Breakthrough. Yeah. And I would just loop it and loop it and loop it. And really, even though I was not feeling like worshipful, I wasn't feeling like, wow, this is so lovely. It was like, this, I'm going to have to do what this says on the tin, praise before my breakthrough. I'm going to have to keep lifting my eyes. I'm going to, okay, Lord, like, what am I grateful for today? What can I praise you for? It had to become like a, get the deepest part of you. How can I still praise you in this pit? And so worship music and just worshiping, you know, in my dressing gown, low as low in my house, with that song just going over and over. And it's just, it is so crazy what truth and worship music and the word can do. It's just, it is a weapon. Like, I know we talk about that. Like, cute, that's a really cute saying, isn't it? Like, yeah, worship is my weapon. Like, if we actually believe that and if we actually, like, use it as a weapon and, like, declare things out loud and... I remember just being so, like, one of the things that I was so anxious about was driving. And as silly as it may seem, like, for some people, it's like, oh, yeah, I just passed and it was easy. But for me, huge, huge thing in my life. Siblings passed way before me, and I was the one that they were, like, picking up. I was the older sister that were picking me up from here and picking up there. Embarrassing, but for me, it was just huge. But I remember days of, like, when I eventually did pass, hallelujah, praise the Lord,
Yes.
Into my car, still so fearful. Like, I don't even know if I can put my seatbelt on. I don't even know if I can turn it on. But just having to quickly put on worship music, like, I just quick, if that's playing, hopefully my mindset is going to shift. Hopefully, I'm going to see outwards instead of, like, my inner thoughts. And it does. It transforms, like, the way you see things. It's all perspective. And I think I just am still learning, when we do lift our eyes up and not at ourselves, that is key.
Right.
But it's a habit. You have to make it a habit, I think.
Totally. It takes time to form it. Yeah, it's funny because we don't often think of, it's one of those biblical contradictions where it's like a sacrifice of praise. And it's like, it's same thing. It sounds nice to read, but then when you're in those seasons, you realize how hard it can actually be to rise above it and keep your eyes on God and praise him through it. So it's funny. Okay, so I'm hoping that there'll be some songs coming from you soon. Can you tell us about anything that you're working on?
Yes. Yes, I've literally just wrapped up on my next album, which I'm very excited about. So it's 10 songs. I have honestly have no idea when it's going to come out, and I don't know when the songs are coming, but I am so excited about this project and believe in the message and the truth that's in it, and really just want to sing over people with this stuff. And it's a lot about getting, there's this one song particularly called By Fear, and hopefully we'll get to do it in Singapore. Hopefully we'll get to kick fear out together. But just as a declaration of, like, this ends here, and a bit of my story. But lots of different songs. I'm excited, Amanda. Honestly, I feel full and just grateful. But who knows when it's going to come out, but it's coming.
That's great. That's so good. Well, I will be waiting. I can't wait to do some in Singapore with you. What would you say to the songwriters? So C3 has quite a few, like, pretty high value on songwriting and church and creativity in church. And Pastor Bill and Chris have set that. But what would you say to any songwriter that maybe feels they don't have they may feel called to songwriting, but they don't feel they have the means to actually carry out what they're seeing, around them?
Yes. Yeah, because if you're out there listening, like, I don't play anything, I don't know how to start, which honestly was me. I was like, how on earth do you do this? Like, I don't really have song ideas. I don't, you know, I think I have a melody. Is this even good? Like, should I show it to anyone? It's very vulnerable songwriting, isn't it?
Too? Yes,
it's such a vulnerable, like, is it just me that thinks this is good? Or is it just me and my grandma just thinks this is great? You know? Right. But I would really encourage, you know, those listening who want to get into songwriting or already doing it, is find a friend who can play something or has musical ear and get together. I find it also, threes work really well, songwriting, I found, right, where there's maybe a producer who knows more of the musical side of things, someone who can play chords. If someone can play chords in that group, that is, you're winning. But on, just like, not to put too much pressure on it and just like create and see what happens. Everyone writes very differently, but I would just encourage, you know, those listening who's intrigued, but just to find someone and just almost just like, as just a soundboard to be like, I've got this idea, what do you think? Can we mess with this? Or I've got this melody, I've got this chord progression, I've got this theme, and see where that goes. You know, that it's not the end of the world if no one likes your idea too. It's okay.
Right.
You know, you can drop it or bring it to another group of people or another friend. But it's so vulnerable, songwriting. So
it's so scary.
Finding someone to write with is really helpful, honestly. And it's it can be quicker too, a quicker process of, and you bounce off each other and how about this idea. So I would say that, honestly, just find a friend.
Yeah, kind of right. That will work across many different circumstances too. That's awesome. Why do you think, why is it important to write? Like, there's so many great songs coming out. There's so many amazing writers already. What would you say to the person that's asking that question? Well, why is it important for me?
Oh my goodness. I think we were born, weren't we, to sing, and we were born to like worship. We were born to praise. We were born to praise him. And whether that even looks like in the pop space, if you're a pop writer and you're a Christian or you're writing worship songs, like, I think it's important that we're expressing the gifts that God has given us. So if you love songwriting and you find it intriguing, like, that is a gift from God that he's given you. Or if you love poetry, if you love, I don't know, shredding your guitar. All of it.
Yeah.
It's like, God has actually put those things in us. It's not, so just recognizing that the good stuff in us is from him. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I love it when churches like C3, where you write songs for your church, like, that is so profound, that you're writing, you're in the community, you're hearing stories of redemption or reconciliation, or, you know, you're learning together a particular passage that's inspired a song and you get to write about it. Like, that is so profound that you can come together as a community, a group of people, whatever, and be like full and inspired and more in love with the Lord to then write a song that would encourage someone or be sung in your community, that what's already going on. Like, I just think that is beautiful. And so I think it is important, and I would hate anyone to like discount themselves, or any church group to discount themselves, because they're not the best songs too. Like, I think that sometimes grieves me when I hear different, you know, go around and, oh yeah, it's not the best song, but I'm like, do you know what? It doesn't actually have to be the best song.
No.
If it's speaking to you and the people, and it carries something, you know, it doesn't have to be the best melody, but if it's like speaking to you and your people, that is so profound. And comparison can just always be tricky, can't it? And I think just stay in your lane, stick in to what you're the Lord's saying. And right, and writing songs is fun. It's a fun thing to do too.
Yeah, for sure. You get to like experiment a little bit and figure out Yeah, what's your sound? What's your vibe? You got to write the bad ones, right, to get to the good ones.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, so we're a few months away from Singapore, which you are joining us with, and which is very exciting. But what are you looking forward to coming to Global Conference, coming to Singapore?
Goodness, so many things. Honestly, I love C3. I love your church. I love whenever I get to come visit and lead. It's just honestly such a joy. So I feel like all the churches coming together too. I mean, what could happen when we're all gathered together in the presence of God? Mm-hmm. Endless, endless things.
Yeah.
And I just love being in the room, honestly, to see what God is going to do. And we can hope, we can pray, we can expect, can't we? And but I just love, honestly, being in the room when he's moving and when he's speaking and the stories that come after, you know, of like, oh, I went to conference and I came like this, but I left like feeling like this, or had, now I've got a new sense of this, or vision, or healings, you know. It's just endless things that the Lord can do. So I feel just expectant and honored, honestly, so honored to lead and to sing together. And and in Singapore, what a beautiful, beautiful place that I love to visit to anyway. I love bubble tea. I gotta say, I love bubble tea.
I know, right? Who doesn't?
So I might have to have like a peach and lychee bubble tea whilst leading worship, you know?
Yeah, just side stage.
I won't have water, I'll just have a bubble tea, please. But yeah, it's, I just feel honored to be there and bring my family too with me, my two little boys. And it's just an honor to be together and nothing like it.
It's so fun. Yeah. Well, we are very excited. And to anyone that's listening that hasn't registered yet for a Global Conference, it is happening May 15th to 17th in Singapore. And you still have time, so get there. And I would say if you are a worship minister, get there and reach out to us and come hang out with us. It's going to be the best time. But Ellie, thank you so much for spending time with us and letting me ask you a million questions and being so open with us today. It's been so great having you. Do you have one last piece of advice you would like to leave anyone listening?
You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Keep on going. You're doing great. Keep going.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you in Singapore.
Thank you so much, Amanda. I'll see you there.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you throughout the year around the world. And our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.